an NPR One original.
There's a growing national movement to change how Americans elect their president. And this month, it took a step closer to reality. Virginia is the latest state to join what's called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. It would make sure that the candidate who receives the most votes nationwide becomes president. I'm Andrew Mombo. Here to help explain is NPR political correspondent Ashley Lopez. Hey, Ashley.
Hey there.
Okay, so what exactly does this compact do?
Yeah, so it's basically an agreement between the states involved to award their electoral college votes to the winner of the national popular vote, not their statewide winner, which is the process right now.
So this means a state like Virginia could vote one way, but its electoral votes could go to a different candidate.
Yeah, let's say Virginia votes for a Democratic presidential candidate, but nationwide, the candidate that gets the most votes is the Republican. Virginia would have to award their electoral college votes to that Republican candidate.
Now, Virginia is moving closer to this now, but this overall is not in effect yet, right?
No, it's not, because the compact is short of the 270 votes it needs to elect a president. It's until they reach that magic number that we hear about every 4 years that this goes into effect. And as of right now, there's only 18 states plus D.C. that are signed on to the compact. And that brings us to a total of 222 electoral votes, so about 50 votes shy of reaching that magic number in order for this to be in effect.
So what led Virginia to take this effort up?
It was actually last year's election. So Democrats took control of both the legislature and the governorship. And so far, most of the states that have signed on to the compact are Democratic, are blue states. So Virginia was able to finally pass this year.
Okay, help me understand. Why is this an issue in the first place? Like, how often have we seen presidents win the electoral college but lose a popular vote?
So it's only happened 5 times in our history. And if you're like, oh, wow, that's a lot less than I thought it would be, it's because it's happened recently twice. But in the whole of the 1900s, this wasn't an issue. So right now, it feels really salient because we've had 2 presidents in the last 30 years who were elected without a popular vote. And that was George W. Bush in 2000 and Donald Trump in 2016.
Okay. Civics time. Why does the Electoral College exist in the first place? Like, what were the Constitution's framers trying to accomplish?
Yeah. So when the framers were deciding how a president should be elected, there was a tension between it being up to Congress, elected folks picking the president, and a straight up Democratic vote. But at the time, the only people who could vote in the United States were landowning white men. So if you were in the South, a big part of your population were enslaved people, people who could not vote. So structurally, they just had less political power. So this was a workaround to count their population, 3/5 of some people, and still have that political power, but it not be voting powers. And, you know, there is some evidence that the framers always imagined this would be renegotiated and this would change over time, but it just hasn't. And so we have this vestige of a really ugly part of our politics and our history that is still how we choose presidents right now, because it just hasn't been renegotiated. It hasn't come up again.
Okay, so 250 years later, What's driving the push for states to use this power now?
The Pew Research Center has done some polling on this, and something like 63% of Americans would like to see a popular vote system as opposed to an electoral college system for picking a president. It's more split among Republicans, but this is a widely popular idea among Democrats. Another issue that folks have with the electoral college is that it forces a situation where presidential candidates are mostly talking to and thinking about the most voters in battleground states instead of talking to the broad electorate. So there are whole swaths of the country that don't hear from presidential campaigns sometimes. It is arguable that this is not the way democracies are supposed to work. You're not trying to win the presidency of Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, you're trying to win the vote of Americans. And then there's like this other thing happening in our politics, which is voters are sorting themselves at a pretty rapid rate. So Democratic voters in particular are mostly concentrated in cities and in the sort of exurbs and suburbs around cities. And so everyone is geographically more apart in terms of politics than they've ever been. So there's just like the way the Electoral College works now is it really does favor one party more than the other right now. Not to say that Democrats haven't won the Electoral College, because they obviously have, but the sorting issue has become more of a like an obvious trend. And if you think of the position that the country's in right now, we are going through some Democratic backsliding. And there are people who are thinking like, how are some ways that we can like address this? And this is one way.
Now, I imagine there's some critics and they see it differently. What are they saying?
It should go through a constitutional process. It should be like every time there's been a constitutional amendment, it requires this long process where you have to get 2/3 of states involved. Congress has to get involved. You can't just do this via referendum is the argument that some folks are making. But also, yeah, I mean, it is likely to face a slew of legal challenges. I will say, like, the National Popular Vote advocates, they say, look, the Constitution also gives states the ability to do whatever they want with electoral votes. So they think that they actually do have a pretty solid legal basis here. But if we get to a situation where this passes, I do think this will be a big conversation and likely to be litigated in court.
That's NPR's Ashley Lopez. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.